Hello, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Truck Stop Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And now, here's your chaplain.
Take your Bible to turn to page 204. We're going to look at just a real short verse there for a moment and talk about some things. Let me ask you a question. Is it ever okay to be angry?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Anybody else?
I have to say so. God's been angry.
You're not yeah. sinning your anger.
That's what that verse says. If it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, if you have your own Bible. But that's what it said, be angry and do not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
We're on 204 what?
At page 204, should be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26.
Verse 26, okay.
It said, be angry, but do not sin. The very next verse, though, says, if you look at 27, nor give place to the devil.
Yeah, amen.
So now, anger can lead to sin. But righteous anger, if I guess if there is such a thing, I'll use that word. Righteous anger is good. For instance, you should be so angry with sin, you want to do something about it. I hate to say it, but we live in a day now where nothing's wrong. Homosexuality is just a choice. Abortion is somebody's choice. That's their right. And people just brush it off. The church brushes it off. Every county in all of Metro Atlanta voted recently on selling alcohol on Sunday. I don't know of anyone that wasn't passed. Where is the church? Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about that building over yonder. That's us, right? That's us. I'm saying, and you can say, well, it's okay to drink some. Okay, not okay to drink a lot. We could argue about that all day. But the point is, alcohol destroys people. It destroys family. And I was listening to a CD I've had for many, many, many years, an old Denver Bronco linebacker named Bull Bramlett. I don't know if anybody remembers Bull Bramlett, but he was saying that he was in a church and they were telling him moderation. Moderation. It's all about moderation. And he said, that can't be right. And he said, well, you eat too much, so you need to be moderation in eating. He said, I have been picked up for drinking while driving. I've been locked up for drinking while driving. He said, I've been in jail for drinking while driving. I ain't never been caught for drinking while fat. But there again, we justify what we want, don't we? Every one of us. My sin's not as bad as theirs, but we got to get out of that. We need to be so angry with sin that we do something about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what you can do about it. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. I highly recommend that you join our new program that's just being launched called the 2020 Driver. I'm sorry, the 1020 Driver. The 1020 Driver. What does 1020 on the radio mean? Your location, right? We are challenging you to be a part of that and commit to it, and you'll be a member. You'll be actually a member of an organization, because every day at 10:20 in the morning and or 10:20 at night, depending on where you're sleeping or what, but one or the other of those two 10:20s, every day you stop and pray. Just pray. Is there anybody that can't do that? No. We talked this morning about the fulfilling the Great Commission and how, you know, some said they can't preach, they can't sing, they can't do this. We can all pray, right? Now, the 1020 Driver program, by the way, is very focused. It's not just, oh, Lord, how you doing today? We want some focused prayer. You remember a story in Acts a long time ago, in the upper room, 120 people went up there to pray. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send a comforter to be with you. Who's the comforter?
Holy Spirit.
That's right. And he is also our power today, right? Because he lives in every one of us. And you know, that's something to get excited about, to think that God lives in you. God, the Holy Spirit. Think about that. All the power. The Bible says all the power of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. Woo! Why should I be afraid? Amen? As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm covered. He's got my back. I don't have to worry about the back. He's got my back. So, it's our, and by the way, the 1020 drivers are going to be praying specifically for the needs of this ministry. You say, well, that's selfish. No, there's a whole program there, not just for more money or more whatever. You got to get the information on the program. What you're praying for is more workers in this ministry so that these chapels will be open anytime you get to them. That's what I want to see. By the grace of God and a lot of people praying, we got 79 locations in 29 states. I'm saying that to God's glory, but some of them are not open all the time. How many went to one and nobody showed up?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I kind of had to laugh. The sex shop is open 24/7. God's house is closed.
There you go. And see, that's a shame and a reproach on the church.
Right.
But who's the church?
Us.
Some of you were here this morning and we talked about, you know, I heard these drivers making fun of a driver trying to back in. Instead of trying to help him, we'd rather just ridicule and make fun. Well, as the church, we turn the CB off. We don't want to get involved in that. We back off in the corner. We won't even say grace over our meal in a restaurant for fear of bothering somebody. You know, last time I checked, this was America. This is America. We're free to worship God here. If you don't like that, I'll help you get a slow boat ticket to somewhere else, wherever you want to go. I'm very patriotic, but the biggest thing I like is the fact that I can worship God. There's places all over the world that can't do what we're doing right now. They do it at a threat to their life, and in some cases, they lose their life. And we don't take advantage of what we got. It's time to get angry. If you get angry with something, you try to take it out, right? If you get angry enough with me, you're going to try to eliminate me, right? Well, if we could just get angry enough with sin to pray. Pray. March the 25th, is that next Sunday? Yeah. March the 25th, we have put out the word all over the United States. We're asking for 120 churches to join hundreds of drivers on that day and stop and pray for the needs of this ministry. Now, again, that does include finances, because to get all this ministry going on is going to take a lot of money. So we got to pray for that too. But the main thing is people, so that, again, that you'll never walk up to one and it be closed. That's my heart's desire. I want to throw the key to the door away. We won't need to lock it. We'll just have somebody here all the time. When you come by, if nothing else, just have a cup of coffee and fellowship a while. All right? So I want you to get angry enough when you see a closed chapel to pray for that ministry. Whoever it is, if it's us or another one.
Just reach over.
All right? And just pray in Jesus' name. You see, I'm angry. I'm angry with sin because I've seen what it has done to the trucking industry that I got into in 1964. I wasn't driving yet. I started pumping fuel when I was about 15, 16 years old at a truck stop. And then learned to drive and you know the rest of the story. But I've been in this industry a long time, and I remember, and Kerry back there has too, I know at least him and me, we remember solid rubber tire. No, not quite. They felt like it. But seriously, though, I remember when courtesy was normal. Helping one another was normal. It always happened. Four-wheeler broke down side of the road, you stop and help them. And they weren't afraid of you. They weren't afraid of you because the truck driver was the white knight of the road, so to speak, right? You remember that? And it still can happen if we get angry enough with the sin that has infiltrated our organization. Yes.
One thing I would ask you to pray for, too, is also somewhere along the lines, the reason why this happened is because so many people are unchurched.
Well, we'll get that in a minute. Let me go ahead. Okay.
Back in school.
Hold your thought. Yeah. Yeah. God had been kicked out of the school. He'd been kicked out of this, been kicked out of that. Although, by the way, I saw a sign the other day I liked. It said, as long as there's tests, there'll be prayer in school. So instead of complaining about a situation, do something. Pray. I remember complaining to God about, I was a driver like you, and might be in Chicago on the weekend, might be in Dallas, might be wherever, you know. And I'd try to go to church. I'd call a church in the yellow page. I'd say, sure, come on, truck, come here all the time. Pickup truck. Must have been. Because you get there, then you're in the neighborhood, and now what am I going to do? And I, at the time, I was hauling for Red Lobster restaurants most of the time, and I didn't leave a load of lobster tails and get on a church bus and go. I ain't going nowhere out of sight of that truck. And I remember sitting at truck stop frustrated because I couldn't find a place to fellowship. And I sold a so-called large car, bought an older truck. I was home all the time, sitting in my church one night, and they've heard this story 100 times, but God spoke to my heart and said, quit complaining and go to truck stop and do something about it. So I'm asking you tonight to quit complaining and do something about it. You may not physically go, but you can pray. You can pray, right? Nobody in here that can't pray. If you will join up with us and become a prayer partner, all of it's going to change. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time. But if we keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, like I say, 120 people in the upper room changed everything, right? All right, turn to page 191. I know it's time to do that. In fact, we talked this morning about the Great Commission. Well, possibly praying might be your part of that instead of preaching or teaching or singing or whatever. Maybe you're to be a prayer warrior. There's an anointing for prayer. We have one of them working in the office named Trish. Trish has been with us now for about 18 years with this ministry, and she's got a hotline to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody over there prays. But some people, you ever met somebody just seemed like when they spoke, everything in heaven just stopped and see what they want, you know? And we want to get hundreds and hundreds of drivers praying. And I believe it can happen. Can you imagine? Again, 120, what if we had 12,000 drivers pray? What if we had 100,000 drivers pray? There's 8 million of you in North America. 8 million truck drivers in North America. Now just think, if we had a little bit of that, that prayed every day at 10:20 for one thing. Again, not so the ministry can get bigger. That'll happen, but that's not the focus of it. The focus is so we can do more ministry. Amen? We can buy more Bibles. We can get more tracts. We can do this. We can do that. Some of you found out with me this morning that somebody came in here either yesterday evening or early this morning and took all the CDs out, put them in the trash can. Now, I could understand them getting angry if they were in their way over there somewhere. But they come in here and took all those CDs and threw them in the trash. Although we got them back. We're going to put them right back out there. Of course, we got some more. But see, there, that tells me that times are troubled. Are you at 2 Corinthians 6:2? That's page 191. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. In fact, somebody read that to see it real quick. 2 Corinthians 6, 2.
For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard of you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you.
That's right. The day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. It's time. We need to pray. We need to pray for our leaders, whoever our next president is, or whoever Congress is. We need to pray. We need to pray. Quit complaining and pray. Right? I've noticed some that complain don't even vote. I mean, to me, if you ain't going to vote, don't say nothing. Amen? Don't tell me about your conviction. You didn't go vote. It'll never change. And if we can't, if we don't pray, how can we expect it to get any better? It won't. Satan's not going to quit. Okay? Ephesians, what is it, chapter 6, I believe it is, tells us we're going to be in war from now on. And it's a spiritual war, not a physical war, which makes it a little bit worse. But he says, today is the accepted time and the day of salvation. Now, there's also, the church needs to wake up. Look at page 171 at Romans 13:11. And I'm doing this so you can see that it's in the Bible. I got mine wrote down. But I want you to see that it's in the Word of God what we're saying. Okay?
171.
Page 171, Romans 13:11. And it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now is it is the high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The church needs to wake up. The church. And again, that's us. Remember, that's us. Every born again Christian is the church. The church needs to wake up and pray. Turn to page 6 now. It's time that they wake up and get angry. But remember what our first verse said? Be angry, but what? Don't sin. That's right. Jesus thought so much of prayer. You're at page 6. That should be Matthew what? Matthew 5, 6. Matthew 6, verse 9. That is what? The Lord's Prayer, we call it, right? Yeah. Now, I want you to look at it a little different. I don't have time to go into the whole thing tonight, but I've got a chart over at the office already made. They can mail you one if you want it. And it, and this prayer is actually an outline on how to pray. This is it. It is a prayer in itself, just like any book of the Bible, but at the same time, it's part of something bigger, right? The book of John is great, but it's one of 66 books, right? Well, this is an outline on how to pray. And I just want to skim it just a little bit here real quick. He said, in this manner, now let me digress. The disciples had come to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. One version says, pray like this. He said, here in this manner, therefore pray. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First off, he starts out praising. Start praising the Lord for who he is. Not a want list. Not I need this, I need that. But hallowed be your name. Glory to your name, okay? Then it goes on, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. It's saying, here, the one that's praying this is saying, I want your will done in my life. And when you say that, you just took the reins off. Okay? Come what may, I want your will done. Remember Jesus in the garden? He said, Father, if there's any other way, take this from me. However, what did he say?
Not my will, but thy will.
That's right. Not my will, but your will be done. And he knew what he was facing. Can we get bold enough to say, God, I want your will in my life? When you get to that point, then you're getting over into blessings. You're getting over into blessings then. Let God have his way. I won't take the time, but sometime read throughout that prayer. And again, if you want it, call the office. They'll send you a copy of that. This is an outline on how to pray. And then in chapter 5, verse 44, he really gets nasty. It's just before that, he even tells us to pray for those that despitefully use us. Good grief. I pray for them, all right. You know, if you don't take him out, I will. Kind of. No. We pray for them to get saved. We pray for our enemy. The people that's cursing on the CB radio, the people that's doing all the things that you detest, have you ever thought to pray that they'll get saved? Have you ever thought that you might be one to plant a seed that gets them to thinking? Been happened to me hundreds of times when I was on the road. And like I say, a lot of times my conversation on the CB was simply, God's last name is not Dan. And I've shared this many times, but I always laugh when I think about it. I can tell you exactly where I was at when it happened. It's so real in my mind. The guy said, quit preaching on the radio. All I said was, God's last name is not Dan. So, you know, my smart aleck attitude, I just keyed the mic up and I said, when you quit preaching, I'll quit preaching. And he screamed, I'm not preaching. I said, yes, you are. You said G-O-D in your language, in your conversation. I said G-O-D back to you. And if I'm preaching, you're preaching. By then, he didn't know what he said. You know? But you know, you're planting seeds all that time. I said that laughing, you know. Maybe it got him thinking. Maybe. Yeah. And everybody around.
And gentle to a dove, but wise as a servant when you're dealing with certain individuals.
That's right. And the word never failed. Another thing we learned this morning was in Ezekiel, which is an Old Testament, and we don't have that here. Ezekiel was appointed a watchman on the wall. Some of y'all were here this morning. We read that scripture. I want to read it, some of it again this evening for the benefit of those that wasn't. And let me show you something here, the responsibility we have as a born-again Christian. To be called a child of the Most High God takes some responsibility. That's not something to take lightly, okay? If J. Paul Getty or one of the wealthy people was to come along and adopt one of us and just like you for some reason, adopt you, put you in their family, he would probably put us in school to learn how to manage his wealth, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, that happens with God. When he adopts us as his son and daughter, he puts us in school called the Bible. He expects us to learn how he operates, what he likes, what he don't like, and act accordingly. That's not difficult. Just learn how to do that. I remember when I moved to Atlanta and pulled the first reefer, I went and got me a book on Thermachine. I wanted to find out how it worked, what caused it to function, what messed it up, and, you know, just some basic troubleshooting, because I know it sooner or later I'm going to be in the middle of nowhere with this stupid thing and it ain't going to run. So I'm going to try to figure out how to make it run. And I learned a lot, right? So we got the instruction manual right here, and you got a free one in your hand. So there's no excuse not to take it and learn. But Ezekiel was appointed a watchman in Ezekiel 3:16. Listen to this, just three little verses. It says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, now this is the prophet Ezekiel, okay? Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Now, you that were here this morning, do you notice the same wording that we read in another chapter this morning? In Ezekiel? Same exact thing. All right? He said, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And I can paraphrase that and say, for my people, which is all of us. Okay? That's applicable here. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Listen now. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Why? Because you didn't warn him. Because we didn't say nothing. I turn my radio off because I don't want to hear that garbage. Well, guess why the garbage is on there? Because Christians turn their radio off. I'm sorry, I'm a bucket mouth. I can't do it. I've tried to turn mine off, and I just can't get my hand up there to do it. As I said this morning and many times, when you use my father's name, you just invited me into conversation. You just asked me in, and I'm going to come in. Okay, if I can, if the opportunity avails itself, and sometimes it don't, sometimes you can't say nothing, but you can pray. Lord, I don't know who that is, but you do. This voice I'm hearing on my radio, you know who it is, you know where he's at, you know what all's going on in his life, and I pray right now for conviction in his life or something like that. Don't pray he'll crash and burn now. Pray that a witness comes along in witnesses to that person, I didn't get a chance kind of thing, but pray that where he goes or something. You know what I'm saying? If we start praying like that, we're going to see it turn around. And I'm telling you, it'll work. But just remember, we have an obligation and a duty and a command from God to witness. Now, everybody can't walk up and start a conversation. I know that. Everybody's a little different, right? We got Jesse Deems is our director of ministry development. He's down in southeast Georgia. He was a pastor for almost 30 years. Got a lot of experience under his belt. He'll go and sit at the truck stop at the counter and try to start a conversation with the driver the furthest away. Wonder why. Then everybody hears what Jesse has to say, right? Well, duh. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him. Okay? There's ways to do it. That's just something he decided to do. There's all kinds of things we can do. Now, I ask you many times, are you angry enough to pray? But there's a step before that. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you're not absolutely positively sure, I want you to look at page 251 with me just for a minute. Last scripture, I promise. And by the way, we're going to serve communion tonight. As you were, we're going to offer you communion. And if you want to, we're going to participate in that together here in a little bit. But in closing, this First John chapter 1, verse 9, page 251 in the little Bible. That's little John, as we call it, over in the back. I want you to see what a promise God made and how easy it is to get saved. There's nothing difficult about it. We try to complicate it. I mean, there's people says you got to do this to get saved, you got to do that to get saved, you got to be baptized to get saved. Ain't none of that in the Bible. I'm sorry. All you got to do is ask for it, and you got it. Whosoever, Romans says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple. Why do we want to complicate that? Just ask, right? All right, here, 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? There you go. He does a thorough job. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now we're made pure and clean. I tell you what, I wish I could relive that moment, and I remember it like it was yesterday, December the 19th, 1971, when I got saved. I remember it like it was yesterday. An old ex-alcoholic led me to Christ because I didn't know him from Adam at the time. He was just a preacher, was all I knew. And he had a habit. You know the communion tables in most churches. He would always come down and stand in front of that at the invitation and say, I'll meet you halfway. That was just the way he did it. I'll meet you halfway. And that night, I had a death grip on that pew in front of me. My knuckles were probably white. And the next thing I knew, I'm standing in front of him. I didn't plan that. All I said was, preacher, I got to change my life. And of course, he could have got technical and said, you can't. Right? He said two words. He said, let's pray. And down on our knees, we went. And this old boy that told my wife when we got married, you'll never see me cry because men don't cry. That night, I think they had to get some kind of machine, get the water out of the carpet. Because I flooded that place. All the anguish, all the hurt, all the hate and bitterness. I didn't even know I had it. It was just the way it is, right? And God began to, I just can't tell you. When I stood up from there, I felt like one of those commercials where the biscuits just float away. I felt like I was just going to float. Because all that bondage, all that was gone. And I'm telling you, tonight, you can get there too. There's enough to go around. If you're still in bondage for any reason, if there's something in your life you can't get a handle on, some habit or something, let's do what this word says and give it to him. Because he's big enough to take it. He can take it all. Whatever you give him, by the way, he'll take. He won't take anything else. Until you surrender it to him, you got it. Because he don't have robots. We are free moral agents, we're called. I have the right to choose to follow him or not. Of course, to me, to tell him no is like turning down a new Cadillac and taking a broke-down Volkswagen. I mean, that don't make any sense. Just the life. Just the peace. Just the peace of knowing it's going to be all right. And I've been there, and we've been through several valleys in our life, and our marriage, 45 years. 2 years ago, my wife had breast cancer, and you know what happens when the doctor says cancer? Your faith goes, or mine did. Not because it wasn't me, and I couldn't take it. That really hurt. It's her, the person I love more than life itself. But then, in a few minutes, something began to surface in us called the Word of God. And that fear was gone. Because even if it goes wrong, it's all right. Just knowing that. Tonight, I want to give you a challenge. If you're not 100% sure that you're born again and if you could leave right now and go to heaven, I want you to mean this prayer when we pray it. You say, well, I'm born again. I don't need to pray. Well, you pray with us. Just in case somebody around you is that person that needs to pray. We're not going to take a vote. We're just going to pray, and that's between you and God. But the Bible says if we confess it, he'll forgive us. So the obligation is now yours. We're going to pray together, again, with your heads up, eyes open, and we're just going to talk to God. By the way, I love driving a truck because I had hours to talk to my father. I kept him up most of the night. I ain't have nothing better to do, so he might as well listen. And I'm serious. I just talk. I always said if somebody put a recorder in my truck, I'd be in the funny for him. Because you're hearing a one-sided conversation. And sometimes it's like, what? And I almost said, are you crazy a time or two? But I thought better. But no, it don't make sense to my flesh sometimes, right? So I got to get my flesh under control of my spirit, and then everything's all right. So we're going to pray this prayer like we always do, and I'll ask you to pray it with me. You say, I'm not interested. Well, just go along with the gag, because if you don't mean it, it won't do a thing. You can pray it from now on. If it's not from the heart, it won't do nothing. But if you mean it, if you're tired of that, if you're tired of that bondage, if you're tired of being sick and tired, it's time to get some relief and start praying like you ought to. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sin. Forgive me where I'm wrong. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word.
I'll read your word.
I believe your word.
I believe your word.
I trust your word.
I trust your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For forgiving me. And cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Now give me the power.
Give me the strength.
To live my new life.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Something as simple as that. But if that was from your heart, I want to tell you right now, congratulations. You're a whole new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, the old is gone and the new has come. Boy, I tell you, I still get chill bumps. And I'm not into emotions, believe me. I don't get into emotionalism. But I get emotional just the same, just thinking about what he did. When a diehard sinner says, forgive me, just like that, it's over. It's gone. I could tell you stories that happened in the chapel that you wouldn't believe, and if you told me about it, I wouldn't believe it either. But I had to see it. I have to believe it. I saw it. An alcoholic that had drank so much, Dave Blackburn, he's in heaven today. Dave had drank so much that he was embalmed almost. He would come to Atlanta, park the truck, and drink for days and days and days. I mean, literally. And he wasn't but about 70 pounds soaking wood. It wasn't like he could afford to do without food. And long story short, I went up and met with Dave at the old TA truck stop. The manager called me and said, there's a driver up here that's losing his mind. He was just that far gone. And, you know, I normally don't talk to nobody drinking because they, you know, you're not getting to them. I get them help, but as far as trying to share the gospel, I don't. And, you know, I do what the Lord leads me, but most, and I walked by Dave and he said, would you please pray for me? And I heard myself say, no. And that surprised me, I thought. And Dave said, you won't? I said, no. People pray for you every day, Dave, but until you pray, nothing's going to change. Until you ask Jesus to forgive you, nothing's going to change. We were walking, this is no joke, we were walking through the chapel towards my office at TA Truck Stop in Atlanta, and I said, all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And I heard a behind me, and I thought, oh my God. And I turned around, and he had dropped to his knees, and he put his hands up in the air and said, Jesus, please forgive me my sins. He stood up totally sober. That can't happen. That can't happen, right?
Jesus, it can.
And just like that, and in 5 minutes, he walked across the hall into the TV room telling all the drivers over there. I mean, I'm going, whoa. But seriously. When he says, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, when we give it to him, he takes care of it.
Thank you so much for listening, Mr. Ms. Trucker. We want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you. Please keep us in your prayers. And if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/truckstopministries. Also, our website is www.truckstopministries.org. You can also make a donation at either place if you feel so led. We appreciate your prayers, comments, and support, and it is our prayer that God richly bless you.